Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds with Bible Truth for Living. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's the last day of 2023, and we're so glad you're ending the year with us, and we're looking forward to what God has for us in the year ahead. As we close out the year, I'd like to again thank those who listen to us, whether it's weekly or just as often as you can. Maybe this is the first time you're listening. We welcome you aboard. And then I want to thank those who financially help us throughout the year as we close out this year. We are heading into the new year, and we want to thank you for your gifts. Some of you give monthly, some periodically, some give a gift one time a year, whatever is appreciated, because it helps us to stay on the radio stations as well as offer the podcast. Don't forget, all of our messages are on the Bible Truth Podcast. So you can go to your favorite podcast store and you can search for Bible Truth with Pastor Tim Reynolds. You'll find all of our radio messages there. And we have some other things planned for the upcoming year that we're going to add to the podcast. And I'll tell you about that as soon as those things are in action. But thank you so much for listening and supporting us. The message I'm bringing today is really more a Christmas message, even though we just finished Christmas, and we sure hope and pray you had a wonderful Christmas. And, you know, one of the fun things about Christmas is Christmas shopping. And most of the shopping is done before Christmas. When my mom was still with us here on Earth, she always enjoyed shopping after Christmas. She always found the good sales after. But maybe that's the case. If it is, this message will help you, or it'll help you sometime when you're shopping for gifts, all right? So I've titled the message, Let's Go Christmas Shopping. And I'm reading from Matthew 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, the tradition of gift giving extends back to the wise men as they brought their gifts to Jesus in Bethlehem. There in verse 11, it says they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Reminds me about a story of a little school Christmas play where 3 6-year-old boys were acting out the role of the wise men. As they presented their gifts at the nativity scene, each boy stepped forward and stated what he was offering to the baby Jesus. Well, the first one reached out his arms and said, Gold. The second boy knelt down and said, Myrrh. And the third boy stepped forward and declared, And Frank sent this. So he didn't quite understand frankincense. He said, And Frank sent this. But, you know, we laugh about that, and Christmas plays and all of that are a fun time this time of year. But I want to think about those gifts. You know, when we think of gift giving, shopping is involved in that. And Christmas shopping is a great tradition. I really am thankful for online shopping personally. But however you do it, shopping is good, except sometimes it can get stressful, especially when you're trying to budget and choose the best gift for each person on your list. You know, the average amount Americans spend on Christmas gifts every year is right at $1,000 each. It's a lot of money. In fact, the day after Thanksgiving, called Black Friday now, is expected to bring in $9.6 billion in online sales alone. So think about it. Christmas really drives the American economy, especially when it comes to retail. Christmas is big business. But as we think about spending all of that money on gifts, and we have all done that, I want us to think about finding the perfect Christmas gift. What makes the perfect Christmas gift? So let's think about that. Number one, I think the perfect Christmas gift, first of all, must be a personal gift. We're not shopping for ourselves. We're shopping for someone else. Now, me personally, if I was shopping for myself, I would probably head to Sporting Goods. But my wife doesn't get real excited about getting a new basketball for Christmas or a fishing pole. You know, she may want clothes, but she doesn't want a camouflage jacket or a hat or something like that. That's not what she's thinking when she wants clothes. You know, your gift has to be personal. It has to match the person that you're shopping for. You think about it, it doesn't get any more personal than to give your own son for a sinful world. We all are familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. You know, Jesus is a one-size-fits-all gift. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, black or white, red, brown, yellow, man, woman, boy, girl, old, young, middle-aged, doesn't matter. Jesus came for you personally. By the way, you must make a personal decision to accept the gift of Jesus Christ. The preacher can't do it for you. Your parents cannot do it for you. Jesus came to do that. In fact, Jesus would have done that if you or I were the only people on the planet. He would still have done that for us. Why? Because Jesus is a personal gift. Number two, not only should a good gift, a perfect gift, be personal, but it needs to be a practical gift. Now, we've all received gifts before that we really, we really didn't want or we didn't need them. I like what one lady said. She told her husband, "This year, just get me practical gifts, something like socks and a mink coat." She was thinking practical. But, you know, my brother, Jody, several years ago, he got me a radio, and it was a radio that did not need any batteries and no electricity required. I call it an apocalypse radio. It was operated by turning this hand crank in order for it to work, you know, so you could have a radio if you didn't have any batteries or electricity at all. Now, the only problem was you couldn't hear the radio over the cranking of the handle on there, and I didn't have enough stamina to last throughout a news program, so it wasn't really all that practical. But I guess if you know, something tragic happens and the apocalypse is here, I'll have that radio on hand just in case. But the good news is God has offered a much more practical gift to all of humanity, something that we all need, and that is eternal life. Romans 6 and verse 23 is another verse. Maybe you have this one quoted. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, without this free gift, we would all die and go to hell, according to the Bible. That's our default destination, is hell. You say, "Well, I don't want to make that decision." Well, by not making a decision and accepting Christ, you have made your decision, because you're going to go one of two places, all right? So hell is the default destination for a sinner. Why do that whenever we can spend eternity in heaven? And it is all gauged on what we do with that practical gift. The wages of sin is death. We're going to die. Some who are listening today, you've experienced death in your family or friend, loved one, just in this past year. It will happen again in the upcoming year. Why? Because of sin. That's what happens. And so how much more practical could you get than to take the free gift that is offered through the Lord Jesus Christ? And so the perfect gift is a personal gift. It is a practical gift. Number three, the perfect gift is a pleasing gift. Now, the gifts that we give to other people should please the one that we're giving to, all right? Something they should enjoy and look forward to. We have a son who is a junior in high school. And, you know, if I was to go out and buy a Webster's dictionary, that might be something practical that he could use for school. But it wouldn't really be too exciting to him, you know, to I ought to do that just to see his reaction, you know, here, open it up and it's a dictionary. That way it wouldn't be too exciting. That's probably not at the top of his Christmas wish list. I almost hesitate to tell this on myself, but I'll tell it anyway. When my wife and I were first married, we will celebrate our 30th anniversary this summer. But our first Christmas together, I bought her a bathroom organizer. I thought that was something that she could use. Now, that was practical, yes, but and it was personal, but it wasn't too pleasing. And I have learned since then that she does not get real excited over a bathroom organizer when it comes to Christmas or birthdays. And so I learned real quick. So that was one of my failures early on as a husband. And I'm sure some of you would probably have a similar story as well. But how would you like to receive a gift instead that left you absolutely speechless? I mean, when you got this gift and you opened it up, there were no words, something you couldn't even say what it meant to you. That is the kind of gift that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. He says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." I think of the words that go with unspeakable. You could say indescribable gift, unbelievable gift, incomparable gift, inconceivable gift, uncontainable gift, unimaginable gift. And I could go on and on describing that gift, and still words would fail. And so Jesus Christ is a personal gift to each of us. He is a practical gift. He is a pleasing gift. Number four. We're more than halfway through our shopping now, and we're going to look at two more points. This fourth one is the next thing we need to consider about gifts, and that is a permanent gift. You know, if you're going to get a gift, especially a really good gift, it needs to be a gift that's going to last, not something cheap and flimsy that falls apart, you know, by the middle of January. It needs to be something that doesn't lose its effectiveness over time. Back whenever our kids were young, that's had to be at least, I don't know, 18, 20 years ago. Our boys bought me a coffee mug, and it says Basketball Dad. They know that I used to play basketball, and I enjoy watching basketball, and it says Basketball Dad. And they got me that on nearly 20 years ago, and I still drink coffee from that cup. It's my favorite one. I drink from that cup often, that Basketball Dad cup. It was useful. Now, God gave us a gift that is much more permanent than any coffee mug or any other gift here on earth, and that is the gift of salvation. Jesus, in his own word, says this in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life," and listen to this, "and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So you think of it like this. God gave us Jesus. Jesus, in turn, gives us eternal life. And then God gives us to Jesus. Now, when I think about that, I see that we really get the better end of that deal. I kind of think of it like this. God gave us a Rolls Royce. I can't really even say it, let alone drive it. God gave us a Rolls Royce, and Jesus gets a Ford Pinto in return. I mean, what an exchange. You know, I get Jesus and he gets me. I don't know really what he's getting out of that deal, but I'm sure glad that he does. I'm sure glad that he has done that. And I like the fact that it's a permanent gift. I believe the Bible teaches in the eternal security of the believer. Now, I don't have time to break all that down and teach it other than to say this. If it's a free gift, that means it's been given. It's not been earned. And once it's been given, God doesn't take it back. All right. And so that free gift, that permanent gift. Now, here in just a moment, as we will wrap up the program, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. He's already given himself to you. God gave us his son. I shared that with you a moment ago. So all he asks in return is give him your heart. And it's not that complicated. He's not asking for your money, your house, your car. But once you give him your heart, you're willing to say, Jesus, take all of it. It all belongs to you. But thank God Jesus is a permanent gift. And then as we wrap up our Christmas shopping, the last thing I think we need is a purchased gift. You know, the best gift is one that the person can tell there's been some thought put into that, some planning, something that cost you something. You know, you don't want something that somebody just went and they grabbed off the shelf and didn't think about it. You know, especially guys, if that's your wife, she wants you to think about it. She cares about how much time and thought and effort that you put into it. Well, you know, when you think about the gift of Christ, he gave his own precious blood and he purchased us, a purchased gift. Listen here to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. This is talking to pastors, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What a great purchase. Jesus has bought us. The Bible says that we are bought with a price. Now, then when I think about giving a purchased gift, I also think about those who re-gift. You know what a re-gifter is? Someone who tries to go cheap by wrapping something that they already have or they don't need, and they wrap it up and give it to somebody else. That's a re-gifter. But in this case, I think re-gifting is okay, and that is to be a, excuse me, a gospel re-gifter. A re-gifter of the gospel. Once we have received the gospel for ourselves, we ought to re-gift that and give it out to somebody else. Peter puts it like this in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister or re-gift the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Bible says that we are not saved by works, but by grace. It is the gift of God. And so we should re-gift that grace that's been given to us and give the gospel out to others. That's what this radio program is all about. As we go into the new year, you know, as the pastor of our churches, I'm always encouraging our church, you know, get the gospel out. It's not just about us coming to church and spending an hour together. We need to go out from here as we go into the community. We're with our families. We go to work. And we're to give that gospel message out that we have been fortunate enough to receive. Now, we've wrapped up our shopping. We've talked about these five things. The gift is wrapped. It's all ready, and there's only one thing left to do, and that is to receive the gift. Here we just finished up Christmas, and I want you to imagine for a moment, Christmas morning, all the gifts have been passed out, and they've all been opened up, and then there's just one gift under the tree. Maybe that gift is for a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, a son or a daughter. And here, the gift is there. And whoever got that gift goes to the person and says, hey, here's the gift. Why didn't you open this? And you say, well, I don't want that gift. I don't want that. And you say, well, but it's personal. It's a practical gift. It's something you'll be pleased with. It's a permanent gift. I went and I purchased this gift. And yet the person says, I don't think I want that gift. That's what it means to reject the gospel. Beloved, it's your choice to either receive or reject the free gift of salvation. As I mentioned a while ago, no one can do that for you. You have to make that decision for yourself. If you've never received the free gift of salvation, but today you want to do that as we close out this year, and you want to go into the new year fresh and with a relationship with the Lord, I want to tell you how to do that. You need to know some things. Number one, the Bible says you must admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes this preacher. All right, so all have sinned. You must realize that. Number two, you must believe Jesus Christ died and rose again for your sins, and he is the only way to heaven. It's not Jesus plus baptism, church membership, being religious, being a good neighbor, paying your bills, giving to charity. No, it's none of that stuff. It's just by accepting what Jesus Christ has already done, by dying on the cross and raising from the dead. And then the next thing you must do is you must ask him to save you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To call means you pray. And I'm going to lead you in that prayer. And, you know, I always want to remind you, there's no magic to the words. The words don't save you. It's meaning it with your heart. But you pray something like this and mean it with your heart, and the Bible says you'll be born again. And here's the prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe you died and rose again for me, and I'm calling upon you to save me. I repent of my sin. Forgive me. And Jesus, save me. Thank you for that. Amen. That's the ABCs of salvation. Admit, believe, and call. If you've done that, according to the Bible, you are born again. That means you're ready for heaven. It's the best decision you've ever made. You can go from here and you can make a lot of money. You can have a nice home and cars and all that. And whenever you die, it's going to get even better. All right. So I feel sorry for people who put all of their effort into the things of this world and die and leave it all behind and end up going to hell because they wouldn't receive the free gift of salvation. Have you received that gift? And then if you're a Christian, are you re-gifting the gift, or are you just hoarding it for yourself and saying, well, I'm going to heaven, that's all I care about? No, that shouldn't be our attitude. Our attitude should be, I want to tell somebody else. As you go into the new year, I want to give you a challenge. Maybe you've never led anyone to Christ. You say, Pastor Tim, I would not even know where to begin. Well, here's what you need to understand. Number one, you don't have to know a lot of scripture. Number two, just give a testimony. I often think of the Samaritan woman. Christ dealt with her and she left him and she goes to the men in the city, and all she said was this: come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. All you have to tell people is, hey, here's what Jesus did for me. Man, I was headed for hell. I was in a mess, but Jesus saved my soul and I'm going to heaven, and I want to see you go to heaven too. That's the best way to witness. And then I believe the Holy Spirit will also give you the words to speak and the right attitude and the right spirit. And who knows, in 2024, you may lead 1, 2, 3. It's a little contagious. I want to warn you, you begin leading people to Christ, you're going to want to do it more and more. I would make sure, if I was a parent, my kids were saved, siblings, mom and dad, and then just go from there, whether it's coworkers, neighbors, good friends. What better news is there than the gospel? This world needs good news, and we have it. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Amen. Let's re-gift that gift of salvation and get that gift out to other people. And I hope and pray that we will all do that in the new year. Well, hey, thank you so much for listening again. This entire year has been a blessing, and I always look forward to the new year coming up, what God's going to do through our ministry and how God is going to use this work and use you as well. And I thank God for you. I want you to know how much we do appreciate your support of the radio program. Thank you for listening. Thank you for financially supporting us. We couldn't do this at all. It wouldn't be possible without the financial gifts of our Bible Truth radio partners. So thank you so much. And if you want to be a partner with us, you can send your best gift to Bible Truth, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Goes right back to our radio time and our podcast hosting, and I sure do appreciate that. Also, if you do not have a home church, we always invite you to the churches where I have the privilege of pastoring, Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, first of all. We start every Sunday morning with some fellowship time at 9 o'clock, and then we have a Sunday school time at 9:30, followed by morning worship at 10 o'clock, and then Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock. And then when the time change comes around in March, we'll be back to our Wednesday night service at 6 o'clock as well. To know more about Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, you can, again, write to us, 817 Woodland Drive in Mount Vernon, or find us online at mountvernonbaptisttemple.com. And then Waltonville Community Church, we begin every Sunday morning at 11:15 a.m. We are located at 321 South Hiron Street in Waltonville. And we have that one service every week, 11:15 on Sunday mornings. And you can also find us online at waltonvillecommunitychurch.com. If you do have a home church and you can at all, I encourage you to be there today, support your pastor, support your church, and get on board with what the Lord is doing. And let's move forward till Jesus comes. Hey, wouldn't 2024 be a good year for Jesus to come back? Amen. We ought to work for that, work for Jesus until he comes, and watch for him. And until he comes, let's just keep sending out the gospel. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I look forward to being with you again in the upcoming new year. And happy new year to you. God bless you. And I'll talk to you next time as we will meet again for another message for God's word. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.